Good morning. And happy Epiphany to all of you. The word Epiphany really means revealing. And for this festival of the Christian church year, we'll see how Jesus is revealed as the Savior of all nations. So whether you're worshiping here in person or at home, come and worship. We'll worship using the order of service as it's printed out for you in the bulletin or projected on the wall above the piano. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. God calls us to come and worship Him with penitent hearts. Therefore, let us confess our sins to the Lord. Dear Lord, we were born in the thick darkness of sin, distant from you, and dead in our guilt. We have been ignorant of your light, opposed to your truth, and cold toward others. Our blindness has brought nothing but gloom among us and grief to you. We deserve to be left alone separated from your life and goodness forever. Lord, have mercy on us. The Lord has been merciful to us, and his glory has dawned upon us. He sent his Son, born in Bethlehem, and beheld by those from far away. He lived in our gloom to shine upon us. He died in our darkness so that we may approach God with confidence. He rose again to assure us that his radiance is ours. In him our hearts throb and swell with joy. As a called servant of Christ, and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. Let us pray. O God, by a star you led the wise men of old to worship the Christ child. So lead us, that we too may worship him in all of our lives. Holy Spirit within us, guide our works and shape our deeds and actions into fit expressions of worship, praise, and love. This we ask in the name of Jesus, the light of the world. Amen. You may be seated for our scripture lessons. Long before the wise men traveled to Jerusalem and Bethlehem, God had foretold this epiphany that the Savior of the world's light would shine and nations would come to it. Our lesson from Isaiah chapter 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the hip. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land, young camels of Midian and Ephah, and all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense, and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. This is the word of our God. We'll sing our psalm together today, and note that as we sing through it, it highlights how all nations will be blessed through the coming Savior, Jesus. Please remain seated for the second lesson. Our second lesson, taken from Ephesians chapter 3, highlights how this long-held mystery that people weren't aware of was now made known, that Jesus was the Savior of both the Jews and the Gentiles. Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you, that is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that, through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him, and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. This is the word of our God. We continue with the song response. Please stand in honor of the gospel. The gospel according to Matthew chapter 2. Glory be to you, O Lord. Today's gospel will also serve as the basis for our sermon. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard of this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is the gospel of the Lord. We confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for the hymn of the day, 83. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, who was born King of the Jews. Amen. God's word for our consideration in the sermon is the Gospel from Matthew 2. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Some say that it was a comet. Others suppose that it was a supernova in the Andromeda galaxy. Still others surmise that it was probably a conjunction of two planets like Jupiter and Saturn as they came together up in the night sky. But that star that the wise men saw from the east, that star that rose in the sky, that star that reappeared and then went ahead of them until it came to rest over the place where the child was, that star was really a miracle. There is really no natural or normal explanation for it. It wasn't just that kind of an occurrence that we can explain. It was a miracle. It was a miracle that led those wise men to come and worship Jesus. And it's also a miracle that leads us to do the same. Whether weekly worship is your normal habit, or whether you're trying to get back into that routine in 2021, whether you're just coming to check out what church is all about, or because a family member has insisted, whether you're here in person or watching online, it's a miracle every time it happens. The Lord wants that miracle for you and for me, for each of us today, that He would draw us to come and worship Jesus genuinely and also generously. Now, those wise men may have received a special revelation from the Lord about that star up in the sky and its meaning. The wise men likely practiced astrology, where they looked for signs up in the heavens, up in the stars. But we have to notice the Daniel connection with the wise men. 500 years, over 500 years before those wise men made that journey from the east over to Jerusalem, God's people, the Israelites, were in exile over in Babylon. And there, Daniel, who was boldly loyal to the Lord and who distinguished himself by his service to Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel was appointed as the administrator over all the province of Babylon and also the chief wise man, head over all of the enchanters and the diviners and the astrologers and the magicians in the Babylonian Empire. Daniel could very well have passed along his prophecy of the eternal king who would come on the heels of several empires. Daniel very well could have shared with those wise men over in the east God's promise to David that one of David's descendants would rule forever on his throne. And so, over from the east, wise men holding on for generations, down through the centuries, this promise of a king born over king of the Jews. Their journey from the east could have taken months. And so holding on to such hope, holding on for so long, looking, waiting, watching for this special birth, those wise men came to worship genuinely. They looked for and they trusted in this newborn king. They came to worship genuinely. Not so with King Herod. When King Herod heard about this newborn king of the Jews, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. Herod was a ruthless ruler. Even though he built many amazing and magnificent structures throughout his territory, he was very willing to cut his own house down, to kill his own family members the minute he suspected their loyalty to him as the king. Even though he had friends over in Rome who were willing to put him on his seat of power over there on the eastern edge of the Mediterranean Sea, he didn't have many friends among the Jews, especially not after he replaced their high priests in the temple with outsiders, set up Roman images around the temple, and taxed them heavily to pay for all of those building projects. Even though King Herod identified as a Jew, his immorality and his indulgent lifestyle argued strongly otherwise. King Herod even ordered that at the time of his death, important people were to be rounded up all around and put to death also, so there wouldn't be too much rejoicing when he died. When King Herod heard that there was some newborn king of the Jews around, he gathered all the people's chief priests and the teachers of the law to find out from them, where is this child going to be born? In Bethlehem, that little city, the great ruler, the king of the Jews, would be born. Now, even though those Jewish leaders, the religious leaders of the Jewish people, even though they knew their king would be born in Bethlehem, even though they were presumably looking forward to it, even though they had heard that it had now happened, we don't learn about them going to pack their bags and head off to Bethlehem and find and visit and worship this king themselves. Perhaps they were afraid of King Herod. Perhaps they were already very protective of their own position of influence over the Jewish people. Perhaps they were too comfortable with their lifestyle. They didn't want to risk anything by going to Bethlehem. But either way, we see no genuine attempt to go and worship that newborn King of the Jews, the light of all nations. Then King Herod the Great, or we could call him Herod the Great Hypocrite, he tried to use the wise men as unsuspecting spies. Go and search carefully for the child and come back and report to me so that I too may go and worship him. Go and worship him? That's not what Herod wanted. He wanted to go and wipe that baby out. He wanted no king other than himself. What insincerity, what hypocrisy coming from King Herod. But whether we realize it or not, we have been just as devious. Just like King Herod, we've been content to let others worship the Lord, and I'll go some other time. I'll worship him later when it suits me. Just like those teachers of the law and chief priests, we know well the story of Jesus born in Bethlehem, but all too often it makes no difference to us. Just like King Herod, we cling to our own control. We don't want any other king, anyone telling us what we have to do. We want to do what we want to do. You might try to look good and pious around other people, but we keep our real motivations hidden, our greed for others' compliments, our jealousy of other people's success and accomplishments, our scorn for the struggles that they're going through instead of empathizing with them. We try to act nice around others, but we know later on we want to go back to the same old manipulating behavior, the same old forbidden pleasure, the same vice and violence to God's will, the same laziness and indifference to our responsibilities. We're just as big a hypocrites as Herod. When I was around the family dinner table last week, we were talking, I don't even remember what it was about, but all of a sudden we heard an automated female voice coming from the other side of the room trying to add some facts and figures to our conversation. Yes, it was the assistant on the tablet chiming in. We weren't talking to the tablet, but the tablet was listening. That's an important reminder for all of us that there are no secrets, not in the privacy of our own home, not in the depths of our own heart. There are no secrets with God. He knows our hypocrisy. And if you think King Herod's jealousy was unsettling, try the one and only God, the one whose name is Jealous, who is a consuming fire. Don't be afraid of the one who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Be afraid of God who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Come and worship genuinely. Hide nothing from the Lord and confess everything to him. All of your sin, all of your guilt, all of your hypocrisy. This is the miracle by which we come and worship. The Lord who exposes all of our insincerity and hypocrisy, he leads us to the only one who can take it away. to the baby born in Bethlehem. The baby born to live in truth for us. The baby born to take all of our hypocrisy on himself at the cross. The baby born to suffer all of God's jealous wrath in our place. The baby born to subdue death by his resurrection. The baby born to reign in our hearts with his forgiveness. Now the wise men, they saw that star up in the sky, led them to Jerusalem, but it wasn't until they looked to that lamp for our feet and that light for our path, God's word, that they realized where the baby was to be born, in Bethlehem. So too with you and me. The stars in the sky or the beauty of nature might lead us to search for Jesus, but it's only the light of God's word that leads us to find Jesus. Our conscience within might testify to a God above, but it's only the light of God's word that tells us about God with us. The light of the world, the light for all nations, Jesus. History may call him the King of the Jews, but it's only by the Holy Spirit's enlightening work through God's word that we can call him our King. And this is the miracle by which we come and worship the same God who leads us to Jesus in his word, leads us to trust Jesus by his Holy Spirit. What a miracle. Matthew doesn't tell us exactly when the wise men went to worship Jesus. Many manger scenes put the wise men at the manger along with the shepherds, Mary and Joseph, and the different animals. But when the wise men came, it was another scene. It was another worship gathering. They came to a house where the child was with his mother Mary. This was another scene. As the Lord leads you and me with great joy to come and worship the King, let us come again and again for another scene, for another worship gathering with our Lord, with our King, Jesus. Come and worship. Come and worship genuinely, but also generously. The wise men came and worshiped Jesus generously. They showed him just how valuable Jesus was to them. When they got to the house and saw Jesus and his mother, they bowed low before Jesus as a sign of honor and respect. And they presented Jesus with great, generous gifts. Gold, the most valuable of all precious metals. Frankincense, that was an imported substance, costly, used for burning on altars. Myrrh. Myrrh was an aromatic gum used to make a very rare perfume. Now, some people see in these gifts brought by the wise men, they see some rich symbolism pointing to Jesus as our royal king, pointing to him as the true God, the Son of God, pointing to Jesus as the Messiah, the anointed one, the one who would die and be anointed in his burial. We can't say for certain that the wise men had all of those things in mind, but we can say that these gifts show how much Jesus meant to the wise men. To bring generous gifts took discipline. Those wise men could have spent that gold or sold that myrrh and frankincense for all kinds of other things on their long journey over from the east. Maybe a bigger saddle for the camel, a splurge meal. They could have stayed at a hotel with nicer room service or gotten a bigger souvenir, or maybe a Herod the Great bobblehead doll from Jerusalem. But no, they had discipline with their gift. They set aside their first and best for the Lord and saved it up and gave it to him when they came to worship him generously. Worshiping generously takes great faith. After all, it wasn't God himself who was going to spend those big gifts. It wasn't the baby Jesus who was going to invest those gifts in whatever stock market they may have had back then. No, it was going to be managed by Jesus' parents, Mary and Joseph. The wise men didn't know if Mary and Joseph were cautious or carefree with their money, whether they were spenders or savers. But as they entrusted these gifts to believing humans, they recognized that it was an important part of their worship to their King, their Savior. They worshiped generously by faith. The Lord could do great things through those gifts as well. Do you think Mary and Joseph would have had travel expenses on their way down to Egypt, especially leaving in haste in the middle of the night like that? Do you think they would need money for lodging and housing and living expenses while they were down in Egypt? Maybe they met someone who was in need who could really use a gift from them. The same Lord who provided manna and quail and water out of rocks for his children on the way out of Egypt could do the same for his son on the way down to Egypt, but the Lord doesn't usually operate that way. Think of all the great things God could do through those offerings, those generous offerings. Bringing a generous offering also takes a miracle. Because by nature, we want to think of things as our own, not God's. We want to keep, not give. We want to give as little as possible instead of as much as possible. If we're asking, how much should we give in order to be generous, we're asking the wrong question, because there is no limit on what God has given us in Jesus for all eternity. There is no limit on what God can provide for us here, and there is no limit on what God can accomplish through generous gifts. This is the miracle by which we come and worship. The same Lord who has led us to trust in Jesus as our King leads us to bring gifts to Him. So whether we make $5 an hour babysitting or have a six-figure income, whether we're just starting out in our field or have been climbing the ladder for decades, whether we've got all kinds of little children running around at home or a double income with no children, Jesus invites and welcomes our generous gifts. Come and worship generously. Matthew doesn't tell us how many wise men there were. Some picture three because of the three gifts that were brought. Pastor Miller and I were talking about this last week, and some people think that maybe it was only two wise men, because after all of those centuries, how many would really be still hanging on to that promise of a king born over in Israel? Others suppose that there were dozens or scores of wise men. When they consider the herds of camels pictured in Isaiah 60, our first lesson for today. But regardless of how many wise men came and followed that star, there are more of them today. Because of the miracle that happens through God's word, the miracle he's worked in you and me, how he's exposed the dark hypocrisy of our hearts, how he's led us to the light of his Son, how he's forgiven all of our sins in Christ, how he leads us still to come and worship genuinely by faith and generously with our gifts. May God work this miracle in us over and over throughout 2021. Amen. Please stand. Now may the peace of God, which goes beyond all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing the Creed in Me. We continue with prayer. Dear Lord, by a miraculous star, you led the wise men to come and worship the baby Jesus in Bethlehem. Continue to work miracles among us by shining your light on our sin, shaping us in repentance, showing your forgiveness at the cross, and nourishing our faith so that we may come and worship you genuinely and generously. Heavenly Father, please watch over Sherry Hansen through her hip replacement this week. Grant success to the medical team, recovery for Sherry, improved function and greater mobility that she might continue to serve you. Cheer her family with the light of epiphany which shines from your word in Jesus Christ. And in our Savior's name we join to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Almighty God, grant to your church the Holy Spirit and the wisdom that comes from above. Let nothing hinder your word from being freely proclaimed to the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people, so that we may serve you in steadfast faith and confess your name as long as we live. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Thank you very much for celebrating Epiphany with us here in God's house or watching online as well. Please join us again soon. After service, if you are able to help out wiping down the pews, doing a little bit of cleaning, we'd greatly appreciate that. If you're able to help, please see John Martin in the back, and he can direct you on how to help with that. Today, we are moving adult Bible class into the gymnasium. We're going to try that pattern once again, like we did pre-pandemic. And so Bible class will start at about 9:20, along with Sunday school and the youth group class starting at 9:20. Those will be down in the school wing. And Sunday school today lasts until 10:10, so parents, please try to pick your children up around between 10:10 and 10:20 this morning. Also, after services today, there's a cottage meeting sign-up. Those cottage meetings in conjunction with our upcoming capital campaign. And if you haven't signed up for one of those, we'd appreciate you signing up for one, and there's someone who can assist you with that out in the narthex. Also, Bible information class, we're going to be having a round of those coming up in the new year here. Starting this coming Sunday, next week, those are in the afternoon. Please speak with me or Pastor Miller if you'd like more information. But we always encourage longtime members or new people who are interested and anywhere in between to take those Bible information classes, a great survey of God's Word. Those are the announcements I've got. Are there any others you'd like to add? If not, then please greet those worshiping around you and God's richest blessings on the rest of your day.